wish to greet each one again this afternoon in the precious name of Jesus. It's been a tremendous blessing to be here already this afternoon. And I think most of the adults caught on that that wasn't just for the children, was it? Thinking about the judgment to come. We find Felix listening to Paul. As Paul was presenting to him the claim of the Creator on his life, the will of the Creator of how he wants us to live. And Felix had refused to live that way, against his conscience, against his better will, a better knowledge. And he was still refusing to give in. And then Paul starts talking about the coming judgment. God reveals his will. He gives us the opportunity to respond. But then he calls us to judgment. Felix trembled. He was visibly moved. He was scared. But he didn't budge. Why do people do that? If you could talk to Felix today, what would he tell us? The judgment to come. How many of you have ever been in a courtroom witnessing a judgment? A few of us. You go there for to sit and relax, to be entertained. I remember some of the court scenes that I was witnessed. And I was very impressed by the solemnity, the fear and the awe. The fate of that person that is accused hangs in the balance. So you have the judge sitting over here behind that, up on that platform and behind that kind of a wall. And he's dressed in that robe that makes him look even more fearful than ever. And he can decide, either you go free, life in prison, death sentence. But before they make that judgment, everything is dug into. All the facts. Everything is laid out. Everything's out and exposed. There's nowhere to hide. That person standing there, yes, that's you. That's what you did. And it's all ugly and it's all raw. Can be a good experience for a young person to go there. You can walk away and say, that's what that's about. No, I won't. I'll live my life in such a way that I don't have to end up here. Now, unfortunately, in this life, there is still much injustice, and perversion of judgment. Ecclesiastes talks about that, and it's just one of the sad aspects of life. We are very thankful for a society when justice is sought for and meted out. But some people just simply don't care, and whoever can give me more money. Some people don't care what the law says. They just want to figure out how to bribe the judge. But you know, there is coming a day when there will be complete justice, complete exposure. Nothing can be hidden. Nothing. Nothing unjust. The first point I have is the coming judgment is an established fact. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It goes on to establish another truth, but there's something for us to think about right there. You and I have an appointment to die. And you know, it's a good experience to go to a funeral and just think about it. Someday that'll be me. What will the audience be thinking when that's me there? What will they be saying? And you know, at that point, it's too late to go back and change anything. It's too late to go back and ask for forgiveness. It's too late to go back and try to make something right. Usually people are pretty forgiving in a funeral. They try to think of the good things and say the nice things about the person that they're, but you know, sometimes, when that person takes that step and they are forever erased from this life, there are people that are glad. Depending on how you lived your life. And so there is an appointment for each one of us. And if we're wise, we'll think about, where do I want to end up? What choices do I need to make today? So that when it's me there, it won't be too late. There will be no regrets. And so just as it's appointed to die, there is also an appointed judgment. The judgment scene will be different in a sense that, as I understand, everybody will be present when it's your turn to be in the casket. You're gone, everybody else is there. But in the judgment, we'll all be there together. And Felix, you will not be able to escape this judgment. Think about it. the life, the kind of life that you're living, you will face someone who cannot be bribed, who cannot be swayed because of whatever. In Daniel 7, verses 9 to 10, we get a picture that the judgment will be an awesome and fearful sight. Daniel 7, verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. I think that when Hebrew uses these terms, thousand thousands ministered, it's meaning that it seems like an unlimited number. And 10,000 times 10,000 is an absolutely unlimited number. The fiery stream issued from before him. Oh, I just can't imagine the awesome, fearful sight. And in that judgment scene, everything will come out. Luke 8, 17 says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And in Romans 2, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secrets will come out. It's another passage talking about, it says, everything will be naked in exposed. Maybe that doesn't scare you. And if it doesn't, that's wonderful. But we'll get there in a little bit. Second point is the judgment will be according to one's deeds. In Romans 2, verses 2 to 11, I like to read those verses. It says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For some people, the judgment scene will be an awful place. Others, it will be a wonderful place. But we see that it will be according to everyone's deeds. And in Revelation 20, it also talks about this. Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Also chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Also 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so we see very clearly the Creator, our Creator, is keeping a record. And he will call us into account. And we will be judged according to our deeds, according to how we responded to his instructions. And we see that even the intentions of the heart and the words will be examined in Jeremiah 17. Verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so God is searching the heart, and that will be taken into consideration in Matthew 12. Is where it brings our words into play here. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 yet. maybe that's, yes. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Only God has the right to examine what our intentions are and what our thoughts are, but we know that it all begins in our thoughts, and what we think eventually comes out. And so God has a right to include those in when he judges the deeds. But there's another point that's very, very important, and we want to think about now, that Jesus invites us to prepare beforehand. And that's the wonderful part. That's why we're talking about this afternoon. Because we can go prepared to that judgment. John 5, verse 22 to 29, he says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now here we see there's a kind of division. And I really don't know how to picture this, because some of those other verses that we read talks about it. It makes it sound like it's all going to be one scene. But here we get the idea that if we have pre-arranged this with Jesus, the ultimate lawyer, who is the judge, it seems like how can I say this? It seems like the case is transferred. You don't have. There's nothing here. All that's been forgiven. All that's been taken care of. There's nothing to talk about. All those deeds that we read about that were judged by our deeds. If we take care of them here, it's taken care of. Isn't that wonderful? It's taken care of. And we don't have to worry about what you're going to say. Because there's a resurrection of life, and there's a resurrection of damnation. which one do you want to go to? I just can't imagine. I can't imagine going to this judgment scene that we've looked at, this awesome judgment scene, and not having things taken care of. And if you're here this afternoon and you haven't taken care of that, you haven't gone to the Lord Jesus, and you haven't made that arrangement to have your name written in the book of life, what are you waiting on? When that person's laying there in the casket, it's too late. He can't go back and do anything else to fix up anything. And it's worse yet at the judgment scene. They're not going to be able to, oh, let's quick get this fixed up and let's take care of this and let's... No. It's all too late. Now is the time. Now is the time. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Jesus came and did his work of provision so that he has the right. He has the right to say it's forgiven. It's not going to be brought up. It's not going to be. It is no more. You're justified just as if you had never sinned. He talks about honoring the Son. He that honors the Son. How do we honor the Son? We honor him by honoring his word. And that's why we're here this afternoon. But you know, we need to honor his word in everyday life as well. We honor him by believing in him and allowing him to do his work in us. We repent. We examine ourselves. We ask him, is there anything? Is there anything that I need to take care of? What about this? What about that? Because it's so important. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Yes, there is a healthy fear that we need to maintain. He calls us to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And there is a certain element where perfect love casteth out fear. That is also scripture, and there is an element of that. But there is also an element of you know, it's getting so popular today to just bring our concept of God, bring him down. He's just, I know a young man that talks about God as if he would just be somebody just standing there. But his life, he lives his life that way too. So we need a healthy reverential fear. And we need to keep that judgment in perspective. But when we have arranged all of that with the Lord Jesus, what a wonderful relief, what a wonderful anticipation. Because he did that work for us. And he has the authority to forgive that sin. James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." So there's an aspect here that depending on what we do with Jesus, depending on how we choose to relate to other people, we can ask for a harsh judgment, or we can ask for total being judged by the law of liberty. I don't know exactly what all that means, but I want to experience that. And I want to treat other people in the way that will qualify. Now, we have to be careful with this in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, this is not saying, like so many people today would like it to say, that if you just love everybody and just accept everybody for what they are and just you know, let everything go, then God's going to let everything go in our lives. No, no, no. That's not what this is saying. Because we already saw that God is going to judge sin. And sin needs to be repented of. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be forsaken. And if you can help your brother or your sister deal with issues in their life because you have first dealt with issues in your life, and that's a wonderful blessing. It talks about restoring the one that has gone astray. And so let's not misinterpret what Jesus is saying here. But we do need to remember that we need to be charitable in not judging, especially motives of other people. It's so easy to get cynical. It's so easy to get suspicious. And I know he said this because of this and this and this, and we go on. And we build up that big case in our minds. And I think that's what he's talking about here. I would like to talk about the judgment seat of Christ yet. It seems like that is a different scene. When we are, our name is in the book of life, and we are completely absolved. Nothing is held against us. But there is another judgment seat of Christ. And it talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5. We read something here, but I want to read it again. Verses 9 to 11. He says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So there's a judgment seat of Christ where those of us who are in Christ, we will be judged here. Now, what are we going to be judged for? If we're not going to be judged for our sins, what are we going to be judged for? I think we find that in 1 Corinthians 3. And here we want to read verses 9 to 15. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now there's a certain sense where the processes of life judge the work that we've done, judge how we raised our families, judged how we related to church life. And there are certain things that, you know, well, we poured our energies into that, but what do we have to show for today? It was just wood or hay or stubble. It just got burned up. It's gone. It's worthless. And he says here that the man's work may be burned. He'll suffer loss there, even though he's still saved. That's kind of hard to figure out, isn't it? But it's not talking about that this person was willfully living in sin. That gets treated at the other judgment. Talks about that I poured my life into something that's worthless in God's sight. And that's also very, very awesome to think about, that Jesus is going to call us into account of what we've done with the opportunities, what we've done with the assignments that he's given us. And is the work that we're doing, is it of value? Is it gold or silver? Or even precious stones? It's of value and it's going to last. It will survive the fire. It says the day will reveal it. And I think that day is talking about the judgment day, the judgment seat of Christ. There will be surprises. Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last. It is not all according to appearances, because sometimes things that seem to be right according to the Word of God are wrong. So we have to be diligent study students of the Word. Second Timothy 4:8. Here's the testimony of Paul. Actually, we should start reading with verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Here's the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and a tremendous challenge and encouragement to us. And I don't think that God is going to, or that Jesus is going to judge us necessarily on the results. You think about what he told the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah. I'm sending you to talk to these people. They won't listen to you. There will be no converts. There will be no success stories. But I'm sending you and don't tell them. But they were faithful to their charges. And I don't expect the Lord Jesus to hold them accountable that there was nothing to show for, because they were faithful to the Word of God. So I think that's the challenge, that let's not just look for results, but let's look to, are we going by how He tells us to do? Are we following His Word? Will we be ashamed because He said, but you read my word said and you did that? Or will we be glad because we took Him at His word? I like to close with this wonderful passage in Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 1 to 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When He says there is no condemnation, I take Him at His word. We can go to that judgment scene and there will be no condemnation. I'm looking forward to that. we can find through living in the Spirit, humbly following His Word, searching our hearts and allowing Him to search, allowing Him to bring discipline, allowing Him to correct us and guide us, meeting the disappointments, the challenges, but laying hold of God by faith. And as we respond that way, we find the road of true righteousness and a judgment that will be a wonderful experience. May God bless you.